Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here at the Football Ramble, there are three things we love as much as football. Movies, games, and free stuff. Now, Love Film have allowed us to combine all of those things for you, our beloved listeners. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial at thefootballramble.com/lovefilm, where you can instantly watch exclusive titles with the Love Film streaming service on your TV, PC, PS3 or iPad. You can also order via post with no late fees and free first-class delivery both ways. Access to 70,000 titles across DVD, Blu-ray, streaming and games will give you a taste of what it's like to be a Football Ramble presenter, as you can spend your days indulging in all those things whilst sat around in your underwear. You can cancel at any time, and it only takes a few minutes. So sign up today.
Stop your complaining and start your campaigning, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete. What happened there?
That was me opening a Coca-Cola.
Hello. Was it supposed to make a fizzy noise?
Yeah, it was supposed to make a fizzy noise.
Have you managed to get sponsorship at the rate that was
just in your life?
By failing to prepare, you prepare to fail.
And that is the voice of Luke Moore.
All right.
All right, indeed. Now then, gentlemen, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Football Ramble. Stoke City's Kenwyn Jones last week reacted quite spectacularly to a bit of dressing room banter. As it's been described.
Was it hashtag scenes?
Well, I don't know.
No?
I don't know. It was pig banter. Panter. he found a pig's head wrapped in clothes, in his clothes, at the training ground. So proceeded to smash up teammate Glenn Whelan's car windscreen because he thought he was the culprit. He wasn't, apparently. So the perpetrator is still at large. But if you were Tony Pulis, how would you punish the players for this nonsense? Jim?
What I would do... I'd let Glenn, well, you know, Glenn Whelan's innocent here, isn't he? He's done nothing,
so
apparently.
Says.
So what I'd do is I'd get him to dress up as Ryu from Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And then get the whole team together and he could just smash up Kenwyn Jones' car.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Like in that bonus level thing.
In Street Fighter,
Street Fighter 2.
Good.
Yeah.
2 minutes, I think you get. Be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're motivated, aren't you?
True.
Like it, okay. Pete?
I'd make him eat the pig's head.
Oh God!
Nice. Just sort of stripping his teeth down the bony face.
Yeah, properly
horrible,
clean,
wouldn't it?
Just leaving skull.
Yeah,
you awful. Wouldn't do it again, would you?
You really
no,
wouldn't.
That would be a lesson.
No, you'd leave the club.
Yeah, you just wouldn't do it, would you?
Yeah, this is an arm. He's drunk with power.
I'd rather get a
and
normal
possibly
job.
Gin.
And on many of the players in the dressing room, that would be a hate crime anyway. So
okay, Luke.
It reminds me of when was it Pistone got given a sheep's heart at Newcastle in 1998.
Why was that?
I think it was because there wasn't like a joke to say that he had no bottle, he had no heart, and so when the Christmas party came round, everyone was giving presents out. Someone, I don't know who it was, I forget, gave Pistone a sheep's heart.
Really?
Yeah.
Like those end of the season awards.
Yeah,
things.
So there is form for this.
A friend of yours and mine, Chimpo, one of the original Ramblers. Yeah. He, I remember, it's the end of season awards for his club was given a not him, but somebody at his club was given a bucket of water with a football boot in it because he'd been treading water all season.
Hey, you'd have to carry that to the pub.
It I wouldn't. I'd just leave it.
Yeah,
might not have been a pub.
I would probably force all those responsible to sign a contract extension at Stoke.
Michael Owen wasn't responsible.
No, exactly. Michael Owen's the only one who's happy about it. Yeah, it was me. It was me.
All right. No headbutts then. No headbutts.
That's a bit obvious.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I would just make the guy wear the pig's head for the next Stoke City match. Yeah. Or all of pre-season, actually.
I think how hot it would be in the summer as well.
Someone once tweeted me about Stoke said that if Godzilla marauded through the city of Stoke, Pulis would run up to him with a massive XXXL shirt and try and get a photo to sign him. That's how much they are destructive as a team. A bit harsh. It wasn't me, so don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. I didn't say that. Someone said that to me.
Jim Campbell's got the points.
Cool.
Street Fighter 2. Mm. He's always going to get it.
How do you feel about that, Jim?
Happy.
Good. Sound it.
Oh, excellent. Let's zoom into the Premier League chat. The season is finished.
Is that a zoom?
Yeah.
That was like an old Sky Sports graphic. Shush. Yeah, the Premier League, it's finished.
It's done.
It's finished.
Oh, done.
Yeah, thank fuck.
Jesus.
Jim supports Arsenal.
Yeah, our season has been like Indiana Jones' hat. Before it gets caught under the
very good.
Under the wall.
Is Gareth Bale like the boulder?
Yeah. Yeah, that boulder's a rocket from Gareth Bale from miles out. Yeah, oh God, I can't believe it. It's been so stressful, but we've actually managed to do it. I mean, credit to Arsenal. They looked so far off the pace. You know,
just like, something more important quick. Can you just do your quick short round for Indiana Jones?
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
There you go. I thought you would have done that earlier.
Sorry.
Yeah. I can wake up, yeah?
But yeah,
wake up now.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That's the song.
Yeah. Absolutely huge for Arsenal. You know, they've got more money to spend now. You know, the money's going up for everyone staying in the Champions League. It's absolutely crucial. There's talk that Wenger's going to be a big player in the summer. It looks like, aside from maybe Bakary Sagna, they're not going to lose anyone, and Sagna looks like it might be a sort of, you know, a mutual thing anyway if he does go. So it's nice. It's the first summer in ages where it's not going to be chaos.
It's a bit of hope in those eyes.
There
of
is,
yours,
yeah.
Because Gareth Bale did another one of his specials last minute, and then it was like, oh, okay, this could be a little bit hairy.
Yeah, and then it wasn't.
Luckily it wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, super.
But I thought the game was a bit strange. Certainly the first half. Arsenal seemed very flat, didn't they?
A bit nervy.
Yeah. And Newcastle were much more up for it than I expected them to be.
Well, after Pardew's comments of, I don't care if we lose 4-0.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah. They had to be, didn't they?
Benjamin Arthur was good.
Yeah, Benjamin Arthur was very good. There was talk of Mike Ashley dishing out big bonuses to his non-playing staff if they beat Arsenal. So maybe that was what sort of motivated the teams to try and get that money in for them. But I mean, obviously Arsenal popped up, and Walcott could have doubled their league, couldn't he?
Yeah, he was unlucky. He should have finished better than that, but it was okay in the end. It's so stressful, it really really is, but it's over now and it's good.
If I wasn't watching you guys, I probably would have got a bit teary at the Steve Harper being
37th minute, was it?
Yeah,
he was actually in tears.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, I think another thing as well, Per Mertesacker in particular deserves credit for the way he's played recently. Arsenal have been a lot more defensively sound.
Well, him and Koscielny have forced him on that side, haven't they?
Work really really well.
He's not injured, is he, Vermaelen?
No, he's just his form's injured.
And that can be some of the worst injuries.
Yeah, that's indeed. So, thank you.
That's all right. That's the least I could have done.
Spurs have done well. I mean,
of course they
have. They're so unlucky.
The players
they've
lost, and the VR Spurs has taken them to a pretty high points total.
Yeah.
And if you look at how he hasn't really been backed, especially going forward in the transfer market by Levy. Levy's sort of trusted and hoped, I suppose, more than anything else, that AVB can just fire them into the Champions League on the cheap. Yeah. It's not happened. And Spurs' run, the last sort of 8 or 9 games of the season, well, I think they've been undefeated, has basically coincided with an amazing run for Arsenal.
Yeah.
It's been and for Chelsea for that matter.
Yeah.
So those top five teams, the gap between fifth and sixth, I'm just looking, is 9 points. So there's a big gap between them. Everton weren't realistically in there.
No.
But Spurs, you know, they were unlucky. In another season, they could have done it.
Spurs have had a good season.
Spurs has got to be back now. He's got to back him.
Oh, absolutely. Because
he's going to start getting criticism.
I mean, they're a striker away from that top four spot, realistically. If they had someone sort of more reliable in front of goal than Adebayor.
Sandro's been a big loss for them as well.
Yeah, of course.
When they start on those games, I know they were winning games. I know they were pegging Chelsea back, for example. But they have, I think they have played with Huddersfield and Parker in the middle, and it's just not enough. It's not good enough. And Sandro's a huge loss for them.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because Spurs have just failed again with the Champions League. But
they don't think it's funny.
No. Sorry, I didn't mean funny.
They won't want that Europa League.
It is such a shame.
Without being, obviously, I'm always tarred with the sort of hating red in that brush, which is usually fair enough.
That's where I was going with this. Yeah.
Villas Boas has actually given them a lot of points for one in the Premier League. He's also taken the Europa League quite seriously. She's completely treated Europa League as a joke last season.
Can I sum it up by saying that, can you imagine if VS Boas came out now and went, well, to be honest, they never had it so good down here. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. VS Boas is thinking, right, bollocks, we've just missed out. Right, next season we're going to kick on.
But I mean, 72 points for Spurs. That's 3 points more than they got last season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they came fifth. And last season
they literally
they came
haven't
fourth.
Had it so good, have they?
So he's improved them for losing a lot of personnel. So
yeah, I mean, I think they'll hang on to Bale as well. I don't think there's much danger of him going, and they've got a lot to build on there. So.
Well, like you say, one or two signings.
Ascendancy.
One or two signings.
I don't think they'll lose anyone.
Chelsea beat Everton 2-1. Rafa Benitez departs Chelsea, having got them into the Champions League third finish.
Yeah, won a European trophy.
Won a European trophy, which we'll obviously talk about in a bit. Frank Lampard's been given a 1-year extension at the club.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, you
it's
can't.
All right for Chelsea, isn't it?
Yeah,
Benitez done an excellent job.
He has done a good job.
I mean, if Mourinho comes in now with the players like Mata, Hazard, Oscar,
all bedded in nicely. Yeah,
God, yeah, it's terrifying, isn't it? And it's going to be interesting next season because aside from Arsenal, every team in the top four is going to have a new manager.
That's right.
I know it with Mourinho, if he does come back, he's
they're going to have
before,
a new manager.
They still need to bed in.
They will have a new manager.
So I mean, actually, that's another reason why it's a shitter for Spurs, because for both Spurs and Arsenal, whoever got that fourth spot, next season's a bit weird. You got a good chance to really sort of make some inroads.
Well, actually, I think
instability everywhere else.
Well, to go back to the Spurs Levy thing, if he doesn't see this as an opportunity next season, with the amount of sort of flux that's happening through City and United and Chelsea, and presumably even if they get Mourinho, there's nothing to say it's going to be a hit straight away. It's difficult to go back to a club you've been successful at. A lot of managers have failed at doing that in the past. Yeah. So Spurs have got a massive opportunity,
absolutely.
And Levy's got to back Villas Boas here. You say they're a striker short, I think you're right, but I also think they're probably a wide man short and maybe one or two others as well. So if they can do that, they've got a real really really good chance of getting in there, forcing their way in there. But Benitez has done a great job. It's easy to forget the amount of negativity when he's joined.
Oh my goodness.
It was actually affecting the players quite and the performances, and he's turned that around. And the fans may not love him, but he's done a good job.
He mentioned that he wouldn't be opposed to managing Everton, or there was something like that, which was quite funny. But of course Moyes departs Everton, and they've had a great season as well. It can't be denied. And West Brom have had a fantastic season. And what a finish against Manchester United.
5-5.
Alex Ferguson's last game in charge. I mean, we don't quite know, but we reckon that's the only 5-5 in the Premier League history.
It's
a safe bet, I would have thought. But that is absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? Lukaku got 3.
What a player he's been this season.
He's had a great year.
I'll tell you what, Man United fans, I think United conceded 3 in the last 10 minutes. That is a chilling portent of what's happening.
Well, it's just as well Ferguson's going.
Yeah.
Moyes can come in and patch that up.
Those Man United fans must feel like their parents are going on holiday for the first time and left them on their own. They're quite excited, but they're also a little bit terrified.
Well, clearly, the 5-5 would suggest. But do you think that's it? If Ferguson came in and they were like, oh my goodness, we're going to get it, and he looked at them all and was like, I'm off.
No, he'll be furious.
You think you're going to leave the new manager with this? That's what you say. Wigan drew 2-2 with Aston Villa. Wigan are already down though, and Pete, we're going to miss them, are we?
No, not really.
Oh right, okay.
No, I never had any great affinity to that club, but no.
So, oh right, okay.
I just think the thing with Wigan is that they, danced with relegation so much, so often, and they didn't learn from it. They did the thing where they pick up at the sort of second end of the season and really fight tooth and nail, but they just didn't do it earlier.
Well,
and they've done it again, and it's cost them.
Will they keep all of their manager though?
That is the thing.
I mean, surely Martinez needs to take some of the blame for taking them down there. I know he's won them the FA Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Is Martinez an overrated manager in one sense? I mean, they play good football, but you can't argue that he never got them out of that relegation.
I think he's a good manager, but I think his biggest problem is that he doesn't. And he seems to me, from what I've seen, he sets up to win every game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't always do that. You can't always. It's very rare. I mean, it does happen. They might have done it at Spurs, but that might have been because they got pumped about 9-1 a season or two ago. But generally, they don't throw people behind the ball. Mm. You see them, when you saw them in the cup final, fair enough, it's a one-off game, it's a cup final, you want to win it, and it worked for them. But the amount of times they've set up like that in league games...
Yeah, but you need to go out and win a cup final.
Of course, that's different thing. Mm. But they'll get picked off by the better teams. And going forward, they're fine, they're decent. But defending the way they did, very, very difficult to keep up. And like Jim said, they're flirting with danger for so long. Their performance wasn't good enough in the last sort of two or three months.
You're absolutely right. Two teams that finished around the mid-table. West Ham, they beat Reading 4-2, Noble with a hat-trick. They finished 10th.
Well, I said they'd be top half, and you all laughed at me.
It's an excellent performance.
Mm-hmm. Probably did.
It was not the big Sam was supposed to be out the door and stuff. Hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he signed a new contract recently, though, isn't he? So that's obviously not going to happen.
The West Ham thing is, the only thing I would caveat it with, it's a great win for them on the last day, but is that it's also close around those teams. There's only 5 points between like 9th and 14th or 15th, so they could have fished between 9th and
Jim's prediction still stands.
No, of course, no, I'm not taking anything away from Jim. It's a great prediction, Jim.
Well, let me wipe the egg off my face.
If anyone's taking credit for this West Ham top 10, it's Jim Campbell.
And Norwich City with a fabulous win,
yeah,
in the City Derby against Manchester City. they won.
Birmingham City got something to say about that, mate.
So yeah. York City.
Yeah.
Rodwell scored two for Manchester City, which is quite odd.
An odd one.
First two for the club, I think.
Blimey. But Norwich.
That stuff like that happens on the last day of the season. Though,
exactly.
It all feels a bit like the last day at school for most games.
I think that's the consolation, isn't it? If there's not much to play for, you do get those kind of nice little ones, don't you? And then Norwich winning there. And Norwich finished 11th. I mean, again, like you say, Luke, it's very, very tight around there, but still, they've finished 11th.
I mean, we thought they were in real trouble just a few weeks ago, and they ended up finishing 8 points clear.
Yeah.
And that's how close it was, you know.
Hmm. Staying with Manchester City briefly, Roberto.
So QPR finished rock bottom.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Just checking. Yeah,
yeah. And Redknapp is still in charge.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah.
For now, at time of recording.
Yeah, exactly. We're recording just after the game.
Yeah.
So he and a big bag of money might have gone by now. Roberto Mancini. He paid for a full page in the Manchester Evening News, which read, Manchester City supporters, three unforgettable years, you will always be in my heart. Ciao, Roberto Mancini. A nice touch from
class
the
act. Yeah, class act.
Although, by the sounds of things, the players won't miss him.
No. Yeah, or the staff. Did you see the ex-kit man kicking off on Twitter?
The ex-kit man?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's really rude. It was impossible to even get hello out of him. Really aloof,
right?
horrible bloke.
I think he is quite aloof. I think he's he may even have a little bit of an entourage. He's one of those types of people, is Mancini.
There's always been talk of him being quite distant from the players and stuff, isn't there? I don't really rather, to be honest, I mean, he's done all right at City for the money they've been given. He
won them the league.
He's delivered them trophies, of course he has, but they weren't going to kick on with him in
especially not in Europe. And that's the problem we had at Inter, as we've discussed many times. He was always an odd choice because of that.
It slightly annoyed me, actually, some of the people on in the press and whatnot saying, oh, Pellegrini, what's he ever won? Nah. Well, with a manager like Pellegrini, if you look at some of the clubs he's been, yeah, okay, don't get me wrong, sometimes you have to look at what a manager's won. But actually, isn't it better to ask, what has he achieved? Yeah. And actually, at Malaga, he's got them into Europe. I mean, they were a whisker away from being in the semi-final.
Oh, Villarreal took to the semi-final.
Villarreal took to the semi-final.
Well.
Wasn't that the last time that the duopoly in Spain had been split up?
Yeah.
He's a fantastic manager, great tactician. I mean, you don't question Pellegrini's CV.
Yeah, no. And you've got to look at who Villarreal are as well.
Exactly.
They're an absolutely tiny club. He's done so well.
I mean, okay, so if we lobbed in like a League Cup, would that make it better?
At Villarreal, did he not come within like a missed penalty from Riquelme at the final?
Well, they would have tied it up with us.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so
they've been relegated recently. Villarreal,
yeah.
They're not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, so there we are. Well, that's it. The Premier League for another year. I think, but you are right, chaps, in saying that the real mouth-watering prospect is the top half of the table, the top four or five next season. It's going to be utterly intriguing.
Have we not got a 39th game for the Premier League?
Have we?
No, it's not a 39th game.
Maybe they snuck that in.
Oh,
who knows?
Yeah.
It was very nearly a playoff.
Exactly. Oh, that's a 39th.
I'm just looking forward to a really tepid season in the Premier League, because it's always a bit rubbish on the year before the World Cup. So it's
players
looking after themselves, Pete. Yeah, there's going to be all new managers. It's going to be excellent. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
already.
Indeed.
Although I am quite looking forward to a break from you lot. So.
Yeah.
And he's talking to you, listeners. the Championship playoffs are nearly finished. Crystal Palace beat Brighton 2-0 and aggregate will play Watford in the final.
Nice goals from Zaha.
It's
showed his quality. If he can get Palace promoted,
it'd
be a nice parting gift, wouldn't it?
And then send them back down.
I think he's a bit annoyed that Ferguson's gone.
It must be odd for him in particular, but he's still signed for Man United. It's still a massive
thing. I think it would be if Ferguson signed you, but also it's playing for Alex Ferguson.
Imagine that when they're like talking about having discussions. Yeah, I'm definitely staying. Yeah, definitely.
Gus Poyet has been suspended by Brighton after rowing with the chairman over the club's budget in the aftermath of the Crystal Palace loss. It was straight away.
When you put that in the running order, I thought for the first time I read it, you meant rowing. For rowing with the chairman. I was like, why the fuck would you be rowing with the chairman?
Never row with
the
chairman.
What's wrong with that?
No, if nothing wrong with it, yeah. But it was rowing.
But also, Gus Poyet was angry with his own staff after the match because excrement was apparently found on the floor of the away dressing room where Crystal Palace were getting changed, and it's suggested that someone in the Brighton backroom staff or something like that put some little jobbies on
the
floor.
Putting the back room in the back room.
Yeah.
pathetic, isn't it?
Is anything to do with Cameron Jones? Was that?
I did a Poirier wrote an email to everyone employed at the club by saying, for some reason that is still not clear to me, someone during the day had access to the away dressing room and done something terrible, trying to upset everyone related to Palace. To say it in clear English, someone had a poo all outside the toilets, all over and around the toilets.
We've all had ones like that.
Didn't stop Ian Holloway dancing. It could have enhanced it even.
Yeah.
It did look like he was slipping on something.
It did.
Just how stupid does it make them look? Whoever did that.
Yeah.
But Ian Holloway's dance moves?
Yeah, I've been.
If you haven't seen that, do check him out.
Yeah, I've seen
some lovely little. Very jerky.
Well, yeah, but he's in the joyous moment. I think it's just an outpouring of what he felt at the time. Watford Palace in the final
next Monday.
And the League One playoff final was won by Yeovil.
It was, yeah.
Yeovil.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Brentford,
I thought that Uwe Ross did such a good job to lift him for the playoff semis after that disappointment.
I thought they were going to do it.
They didn't start at all well against Yeovil.
Not against Johnson's Yeovil.
No, and they overwhelmed him. Brentford got a goal back sort of later on, but it was too little too late.
It's good for Gary Johnson. He's missed out in playoffs before. So
I mean, Yeovil in the Championship.
I saw an interesting tweet earlier, which is that Yeovil are now a division higher than Wolves. How strange does that sound?
That is very strange, isn't it? And Portsmouth.
Two divisions by Portsmouth.
Yeah. And the League Two playoff final, Bradford beat Northampton Town 3-0, and it was pretty much over before half time, Pete.
What a season for Bradford.
Yeah. They just, Northampton just didn't turn up at all. I felt really bad for their fans because they just didn't look.
It was a bit embarrassing.
Even when Akinfenwa came on.
That was far too late.
He had half an hour to change things.
At 2-0, you should have brought him on.
They were 3-0 down after about 20, about half an hour.
Yeah, it was a shame, really.
They really weren't first to anything. Naki Wells played really well. He's obviously had a good season at Bradford, scored a lot of goals. And Jim said it has been a good season for them. I mean, cup final and all sorts.
It's been a very good season. So that's really, is it really for English football? Obviously, we've got the Championship playoff to come. So Yeovil and Bradford, they go up. The Premier League's been done and dusted.
Champions League final next weekend.
We've got British English football.
That's at Wembley. Come on.
Yeah. Well, before
we're finalists in a way.
Probably be an English fourth official or something.
Providing the venue.
You're welcome again, Europe.
if Keyes was he probably is on Al Jazeera going, oi, not bad the stadium, is it?
Yeah, I love it if David Bernstein, when whoever wins the Champions League final, instead of doing like a trophy presentation, they do a presentation to 150 years of the FA. And they're up there instead.
Kenyan just there.
Yeah.
oh dear. Let's go to Spain, where there was a fantastic Copa del Rey, and Atletico Madrid have beaten Real Madrid first time in 114 years.
What is it?
Or 14 just... years. an awful long time. But what a final! And it was at the Bernabeu as well. And Atleti, a wonderful, wonderful win, Jim, for them.
It's brilliant. It's so funny when Madrid lose like that, isn't it? Because they're, so rich.
It's taken 26 matches it took Atleti to beat them.
And they battered Atletico as well.
26 matches!
How many players are talking to Mourinho now? It was three last week. Yeah.
Well, the match was... It was played at the Bernabeu. Now the match was it was also on the Friday night, and it was meant to take place on the Saturday. It was actually moved because of the Eurovision Song Contest.
That's lovely. Crazy.
If you're not from Europe, the Eurovision Song Contest is shit, but it is as bad as it sounds, and it truly is. So to move a cup final for that is truly baffling.
Yeah, lots of ironic parties taking place. Yeah. Basically, that's probably why that was.
So Falcao just wins things. He's one of those players. Yeah. He's a trophy magnet.
Sorry, but it was held at the Bernabeu because I think both clubs and the Spanish Football Federation all agreed it should be held in Madrid. It's a sensible solution.
Yeah.
Take note, FA. And the Vicente Calderon holds about 25,000 less than a Bernabeu, so it made sense to have it.
Actually,
there.
On that, wasn't it mooted that if the playoff between Arsenal and Chelsea had to happen, it would be at Villa Park?
Yeah.
Just put it at Wembley.
That's handy.
No, but I don't think they could because
it wasn't available, was it?
Champions League and player.
Yeah. Okay,
and then obviously White Hart Lane wouldn't be having that.
Have it at another London.
It would have been hilarious having it at White Hart Lane. Could you imagine that?
Bill it as something like the Champions League. We're definitely in the Champions League cakewalk 2013.
Yeah. Oh,
I give Spurs like 1,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Come along if you want.
It was either there or Upton Park or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not happening anyway.
Where are we? Oh, yes.
It has happened.
Yeah, Copa del Rey. Ronaldo scored a header to get the game going, but then Diego Costa equalised after a lovely assist from Falcao.
That was an incredible bit of work. He just had like four men around him.
He's so
not
bloody good
at
football.
He's just a step ahead of everyone else. It's such a quick brain.
I'll be sad if he goes to Monaco after so.
Yeah. Well, he's. Right, I think he's distanced himself from that straight away, hasn't he?
Okay, right.
Well, yeah, it took a while. A lot of credible reports are suggesting it could happen.
Mm. Well, yeah, you see that Monaco have been promoted. They got a lot of money. Ranieri's manager. There's a lot of things that can make
to
it.
To go to a. For him. To go to, he's won the Europa League twice, I think.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, they've qualified for. I mean, stay at Lecce. They've qualified for the Champions League. They can really kick on. But to go to a promoted side, a newly promoted side, playing in front of 10,000 or whatever it is that Monaco.
But the money reported that he's been offered. The money I saw was something along the lines of 60 million euro transfer fee and Falcao to get 10 million.
Yeah,
euros
he'll make an awful lot of money. So
he can do that elsewhere.
Yeah, of course. He could
go to probably Chelsea or City or something like that.
But he had a good game, didn't he?
Yeah, but there might be talk. You know how some of these deals work. He could go to Monaco for 6 months or a year and then get transferred back to Real Madrid or something like that. You know the way that behind the scenes goes on in football. But back to the final itself, though, we have to say that the young Belgian keeper on loan from Chelsea, Courtois, had a great game.
He's a magnificent goalkeeper.
He made a stunning save against
Özil.
Yeah. I mean, it's as good as a goal, that kind of save.
Mm. He is one of the best goalkeepers I've ever seen.
Really?
He's so consistent. I mean, he's so consistently good.
Better than Andy Gorham.
Which one? But he is so good.
Better than Ian Walker.
Steady on. But I just don't see why he is not. I mean, I could, because Czech's had a decent season and Chelsea have done well. But I mean, you can see Courtois going back to Chelsea.
You can,
and actually forcing his way. And he's so young as well. He's got time on his side.
I think
he's magnificent. Honestly, I genuinely think whenever I've seen him play, he's been so good.
He needed a bit of help from Juan Fran to clear one off
the line. Oh. But Real Madrid were so dominant. Had so many good chances.
Ronaldo had a lovely free kick. He hit under the wall and it came back off the post. Yeah. And he did that thing where he really had a temper tantrum.
I can because of what we've talked about with Mourinho and the players in the past. I can just imagine whenever. So I missed the chance to run back down the other end of the pitch, just looking over at Mourinho going, that's your fault as well.
Well, Mourinho was sent to the stands.
That game had
pretty much everything. He was sent to the stands.
Ronaldo was sent off harshly, I thought.
Well, he tried to sort of kick out, didn't he? But then there was a lot of play acting. Gabri was sent off for two goals for Atleto as well.
It's funny he got sort of a kicking out because obviously Simeone and Beckham.
Yeah, that's true. Simeone's done a fantastic job there, hasn't he?
He loves it.
Absolutely marvellous. Real Madrid hit the post a number of times. They should have done better, really. And then Joao Miranda headed home the winner in extra time. And I did quite like what Miranda said afterwards. He said, I wanted to score that goal for all the kids who laugh at my son every day for being an Atletico fan. But there is, I mean, there's such a big, a wider context to this game. It's not just a case of, oh, they haven't won in a while. It's, Sid Lowe was writing things in The Guardian, things like, you know, this is the next day of their lives or something like that. You know, it's an enormous achievement.
Yeah.
And the whole city is obviously, it's just Real Madrid dominated because of their success over the years. And Atletico Madrid have been so unlucky. So it's absolutely marvellous. And also, there's a nice little thing that it was the year that Real Madrid were meant to win their 10th European Cup, but instead Atletico have won their 10th Spanish Cup.
Yeah.
So they've kind of taken it there. Diego Simeone said, if you'd have made the fans an offer in which you'd said, we won't win against them for 14 years, but when we do, it'll be a cup final at their stadium with them scoring first, hitting the post three times, and us winning in extra time, they'd have signed up for that.
Yeah. It would have been a bit boring now, what was going to happen, though.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, that's true. It's been an absolute disaster for Madrid. Mourinho said they'd be able to sort of claw some.
Mourinho said, I failed the season.
And it's not often you and Mourinho say.
He said he hasn't won a trophy. It's the worst season of his career. He argued. He said in the first couple of seasons, obviously they won the cup and then won the league, and they were could be deemed as a success as they were. But third season, he also had another dig at his side when he was saying about the second season wasn't a failure because they won the league and got to the Champions League semi-finals and lost on penalties, and I'm sorry but I can't take penalties.
Little digs.
He also said, this is the worst season of my life. I'd never finished a season without one of the important trophies. The Supercoppa does not satisfy me. For many coaches it would. And he's got a contract there for 3 more years, and he said he hasn't sat down and talked about the future with the president.
I mean, there's no way he can stay. It's untenable.
Yeah, of course.
You can't stay.
Unless he just, gets rid of all but three players.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
He's scored.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a 1-1-1 formation.
Yeah. That's it. That is it. So Spain's nearly done. The Europa League is done. Another league that is finished. Chelsea won it. They beat Benfica, the first side to hold the Europa League and the Champions League at the same time.
That's what Benitez does for you. Rafa's men.
They're going to keep singing that song, aren't they?
Yeah, I expect so.
Champions
yeah.
of Europe, we know what we are, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Who knows? Well, Arsenal better do something about it, mate.
Yeah. Well, Pompey could help.
Yeah. We're not alone. We're trying. Fucking bankrupt.
Or Newcastle, yeah. or the team Marcus supports, yeah. possibly.
I don't support. Yeah, different league, mate. Different
the
Hurricanes,
league. The 90s ITV show.
Oh, yeah, I used to love them.
But I tell you, Torres got a nice one. It was like old Torres.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ivanovic with the last gasp winner. Everyone was pleased.
Goal, that was.
It was a lovely header.
Benfica were excellent in the first half, but Benfica just never threatened.
Should have been up. Should have been a goal up at half time.
Chelsea just defended really, really resolutely in their own box when it was getting pinged about, and they just nullified them.
Benfica still not won a European trophy since Bella Gutman cursed them away back in the early 60s.
Yeah.
Incidentally, if you haven't heard the Bella Gutman, go on the website and have a listen to it, because it's
great
man, hilarious.
Great profile.
In case you heard about this curse of Benfica.
Well, they actually started the game very well, and they should have been ahead. They should have been up
at half time.
Cardoso got that penalty to equalise, but they should have been ahead, and I think it started to play on their mind a little bit, and Benitez changed it around a bit at half time. And Chelsea came out a lot better. They really did.
Yeah,
they deserved it in the end, Chelsea, because they stuck in there. They battled away, and they turned out to be, you know, the better team by the end.
It is such a shame for Benfica.
They had that great team about. Do you remember the side they had in the Europa League about 3 seasons ago, where they went and they were brilliant, and they had Ramirez and they had David Luiz and they had Carlos up front,
and they had Di Maria too.
Yeah, exactly. And they bottled it against Liverpool Anfield. They were playing. They're just knocking the socks of everyone. They're knocking the ball around lovely. And they went to Anfield, and it was one of those times where you think, you know what? That is still a big place to go for clubs. Mm. You know, even though Liverpool aren't as good as they used to be. And they completely changed how they play. They went into their shell, didn't knock it around, and just got picked off. And they should have got at least to the final that season. They had a great team.
The last time they were in a European Cup final was 1990.
Oh, against Milan.
Milan.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who's in charge of Benfica then?
Who?
Sven Goran Eriksson.
Was he?
Yep.
Wow.
He's a bit of a legend there. In the early 80s, he won them the Cup Winners' Cup, I think.
Wow.
He's a legend. Like Graham Souness.
Nah, he's a legend everywhere. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and of course, they last minute missed out against FC Porto.
Yep. Yes.
Well, I mean,
it's been a bad week for them, like you can
an
say.
Awful week. Yeah. Awful week.
One thing I would say is, and it was sort of negated by Benfica actually starting the final quite well, but for them to lose to Porto in that fashion and to see Jorge Jesus
drop to his knees.
Yeah, being completely desolate. And it was like, oh, God.
Oh, nice to see John Terry in his kit again, Pete.
Yeah. Well, they say it's a UEFA directive, but there's a couple of other players that didn't do that.
He put shin pads on as well.
Did he think he had shin pads this time?
Did he not?
He did it at the Champions League. I don't think he did this time.
A small child got in the lifted the cup, didn't he?
Was that a Liverpool fan?
Yeah, he's like a scouts kid, wasn't he? Yeah, he just sort of slipped in front of Luis, I think it was, and shook the hands of all the great and good at UEFA.
Was it Rafa brought him along for more support?
But just kind of, he sort of went, oh, he's just a really inquisitive boy, and I think he sounds like a little shit to me.
It was funny the old Terry thing, because like they say, the UEFA do say if you want to lift the cup, you got to be in the kit. But like Keenan scores and stuff, and they won it in 99. I mean, it may have changed since then.
What are they going to do if you ignore that rule?
Well, Keane was I don't know if the rule was in place there, but Keane was obviously club captain at the time, and basically said that winner's medal doesn't mean anything to him because he never played in the final.
Yeah.
Big JT actually lifted the trophy. Was it Lampard?
Yeah.
He's a good club man, Jim.
Yeah. Mm.
Think he wins that award at the end of season? Club man.
Most improved.
Most improved. Obviously the. I wouldn't even bother with allegedly in that sentence. The Champions League final will be taking place at Wembley. It's Borussia Dortmund versus Bayern Munich.
We already knew that, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. In case anybody's missed anything.
Yeah.
The last thing. Who do you fancy, Jim, for that?
Bayern, I would think.
Ooh.
I fancy the Wembley sausage lady to have to up her game substantially, because the last sausage I had at Wembley was disgusting.
He's amazing.
Yeah, and they will be very hot on that.
Exactly.
And they cost a lot of money, so beware, Germans, beware. But who do you fancy for the win?
I reckon Bayern will win.
Luke?
I am happy to go with whatever person is going to give me a free ticket to the final.
The Klopster.
Yeah.
You want the Klopster to win,
don't you? I think Dortmund have got a good chance. I think Dortmund have got a better chance of beating Bayern than any other team would have. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair enough. There we go. Well, that's it for the main body of the show, and now we're going to go to Pete's game.
Yes, we are going to go to Pete's game. Luke, you had a title for this one, didn't you?
It's not actually mine. Someone sent it to me, and I can't remember their name. Okay. So, I think it might be friend of the show, Murray James.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, how about Michael Barrymore's My Con of People?
Yes. Nice. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, first clue. I came through the youth youth ranks at Chelsea alongside my close friend John Terry.
Stop. Is it Jodie Morris?
It's a great guess,
Jodie Morris.
No! Oh, no.
Come on,
bloody hell.
Excellent. Yeah, as soon as you said it, I thought, he
might have. Up yours, listeners.
I'm glad I wrote all those clues.
Yeah, good.
Good. Shall we move on then?
Right, no correspondence this week.
Anyone got anything they want to fill for?
No, no correspondence this week, because we can't be bothered. No, that's not true, because we are going to go straight to the profile.
Jamie Carragher.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's David Beckham.
Oh, in you come,
Dave.
That's it.
Get him in.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah, you know it all. Everyone knows all of it.
As we start this, stop whatever you're doing. If you're on a train or you're in your bedroom, whatever, get a picture of Beckham up, your favourite one. Mm. Look at it while you're listening.
There's plenty of haircuts.
Yeah.
Allow your hands to explore.
Or maybe get a folder of Beckham's images and haircuts throughout the years and move with us.
I tell you what, it's been a funny old time with the Hall of Fame. We had Sir Alex last week, and now we've got D-Beck. I couldn't believe my luck, really. In one sense, obviously, it's a shame he's retired, but I thought,
didn't see it coming. I genuinely thought he was going to do at least one more season.
It didn't surprise me that much.
Did you see his last game or his last appearance?
We'll come on to that at the end.
Yeah.
So it seems quite strange to put Beckham in, but in a sense, I'm glad that we've got the chance to do it.
Mm.
So we are going to begin, like we always do, by saying that he was born on the 2nd of May 1975.
Oh, 8 years after the Summer of Love.
Indeed. I love this. He was born at Whipps Cross Hospital in Leytonstone.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That is so good.
Isn't it just?
Why is that so good?
Whipps Cross Hospital.
Oh, right. Okay, I get you. Yeah.
You're back in the room.
A bit slotted there. Bit of over.
Jodie Morris. Get over it. Get over it.
I'm starting the game.
Yeah, he was in Leytonstone in London. Started playing football from a very young age. Signed schoolboy forms with Manchester United at 14 years old.
Hair would have been probably quite tousled, reasonably long.
Yeah.
But not really a definitive style as yet.
He's just starting out.
Yeah.
I remember Brian Robson talking on the television about, I think they were away to West Ham back in the day, and he remembered that Ferguson brought the young Beckham into the change rooms after the match to meet some of the players. And Robson said he turned to, I think it was Steve Bruce, and they were both like, this lad must have potential. If Fergie's showing him around, he really must want him to play.
Well, around that sort of age, how old was he then?
I think that was when he was signing the forms, perhaps. Maybe he was 14.
Oh, okay, right.
Something like that. But you're going to move on to the Youth Cup at Manchester United.
Well, all I was going to say was, it's a bit after this, but Adrian Clarke, who is the same age as Beckham.
Oh, played for Arsenal in Southend. And
yeah, and played in the same England youth teams and stuff, said that at one point, I forget what age he said, obviously a bit after this, said that no one really rated him that highly. And then when he wasn't in a squad for maybe 6 months to a year or something like that, came back, because obviously they played the same position, Adrian Clarke and him, at that time, and he said he couldn't believe the improvement. He said it was unfathomable, and obviously it turned out to be that he had worked so hard.
He was
interested in nothing else,
and
he just improved to such an extent as Adrian was completely sort of baffled by it.
We won the Youth Cup at Manchester United and came through the ranks at the club, similar time to Neville, Skulls, Button, Giggs, of course. Made his way up to the first team after signing professional forms. He only played a few times though, and he was loaned out to Preston North End in 94-95 season for a month or two.
A couple of goals.
He did get a couple of goals. One from a corner.
I thought, in my head, they were both from corners, but
but he remembered at the time thinking that he was feeling like surplus to requirements at United and was worried that he'd be sold on, and he kind of begrudgingly went to North End, but had a great time there, and funnily enough, he didn't want to leave afterwards. He had such a brilliant time. And David Moyes was playing for Preston North End there, and he said,
it's weird to think that,
really weird.
Yeah. It does, and then Moyes said everyone who was a part of that team still remembers him and still wants to talk about how they played in a team with David Beckham. I'm no different.
I love that.
It's nice. Yeah. But he went back to Manchester United. He played a handful of games for United, as I say, in 94-95. And then Ferguson, like we talked about in his profile, sold Ince, Hughes and Kanchelskis and brought the youngsters through, transformed that side.
Big gamble for Ferguson.
It was a big gamble. After going a season without a trophy for the first time in 6 years. So the kids came in and lost their first league match of the 95-96 season away at Aston Villa 3-1. And that was the first time I personally remember Beckham quite clearly. I think there was a Champions League game against Galatasaray maybe where he scored.
He played in the 5-0 against Newcastle as well.
He did. but that was my first vivid memory of Beckham, because he scored the one. And I still can't work out whether it took a deflection or not, but it was a decent hit.
Mm.
And
I think I remember that.
And he was away. And that season they went on to win the league and cup double. Beckham established himself as United's right-sided midfielder. All the girls at school fancied him. And it was in the opening day of the 96-97 season he scored that goal against Wimbledon from the halfway line that he became a household name.
Well, that's when he moved from, you know, being potential good player. You know, people who liked football knew of him as a good prospect, to making that sort of leap towards almost household name at that point.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people sort of forget how hard that is to do.
Well, like halfway line.
Yeah,
I know. Like, just sort of like, bearing in mind, you know, the keeper wasn't. It wasn't like there was no keeper. Mm. There was a keeper.
Yeah, exactly.
Of sorts. No, he's a good keeper, Neil Sullivan.
Still is.
Hair update, sort of slick back, sort of gelled, but also coming down the sides.
Blonde highlights.
No. Still dark.
No, not blonde hundreds yet.
Still dark.
Because I remember I had them before him.
Did you?
Yeah, and I was really quite annoyed when he got them.
Yeah.
Never
mind.
Oh, well. His PR did well covering that up, didn't he?
Is that exclusive?
Yeah, you do get some silly people that are like, well, that goal's like the most overrated goal. It wasn't that. It's from the halfway line.
Yeah, shut up, those people.
As Pete said, if you were just in a park with no pressure on you, there's no goalkeeper, you just tried, it's flipping hard.
Yeah. No, sorry, he's like 21 years old at the time, or something like that as well.
It's absolutely outrageous. Playing in the same team as, you know, Cantona and all the rest of it.
The celebration was joined by, I think,
Brian McClair
and Big Jordy Cruyff.
In very good company. So that season, he made his England debut as well, played a big part in England's qualification to World Cup 98. He was voted PFA Young Player of the Year. And we saw his flair for free kicks, and the odd spectacular goal was coming through. I think it was that season where he scored a nice one against Spurs in the FA Cup. Now, we fast forward to World Cup 98. I mean, we really could ponder on these moments for so long, but we realise we've only got you for a certain amount of time, listeners. So World Cup 98, he was left out of the side for one reason or other. I think Glenn Hoddle seemed to be quite critical of the young Becks. And Beckham certainly mentions in his book that Hoddle's man management was a bit piss poor.
Well, yeah, he sort of hyped him up quite a lot, didn't he? And then in the actual tournament itself, I mean, I don't think Beckham had the best. I mean, the following season he was superb,
yeah.
But I don't think he had the best season from memory.
No, he did all right. He played in every one of England's qualification games.
But didn't Hoddle sort of set out to try and start building the team around him, and then was got a bit disappointed with his sort of off-pitch antics and left him out of the first two games, didn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He didn't play at all in the first game, and he came off the bench
against Romania, and made a bit of a difference.
Yeah,
because he played with Ince and Batty behind Scholes, I think.
Yeah,
he played a 3-5-2.
But was it not? I mean, I may be misremembering this, but was there not a particularly difficult decision to make about picking him or not because of the formation they were playing? Because he was a right midfield player, and he wasn't really a wing back.
No, he wasn't a wing back. Although he could play wing back, and he did play wing back for England a few times, and people thought, why is Darren Anderson playing in front of him on the wing back? But Anderson actually was an excellent wing back. He should have been playing ahead of, say, someone like Batty, which of course is what happened. I mean, he was a good player, but you don't need Batty and Ince. If you've got Ince, Beckham and Scholes, that's a great midfield.
Who's going to bicycle kick people in the face? That's true. What I said.
Yeah. So when Beckham did start against Colombia in a match England needed to win, he scored his first England goal with a superb free kick. And you can tell Beckham absolutely loved playing for England even then. Obviously, England went up against Argentina in the second round, and Beckham provided the pass for Owen's goal, got sent off for that kick out against Diego Simeone, and everything changed for the young handsome man who had the world at his feet. Because building up to that, this is when the blonde highlights have come in, by
right,
the way.
Okay, okay.
Building up to that, it was like, my goodness, we've got a guy who could be a genuine world superstar. Mm. And he even right down to his looks.
And his voice?
Well, as Frank Skinner said, I saw his talent, I saw his ability, I saw his looks, and I heard his voice, and I thought, that's fair. but on a more sort of serious note, after he got sent off, there was a hate campaign.
It was well over the top.
Outrageous. 10 brave lions and one silly little boy.
Something like that. One stupid kid.
He was victimised when England were eliminated.
For a young man, that says a lot more about society than it does about him.
Of course it does. I think he was 22, 23.
Yeah.
And instead of, obviously, he knows what he's done.
Yeah. And by the way, can I just say also, the kick out on Simeone, it wasn't even that bad.
No,
of course. It wasn't petulant that bad. It was like a little flick out. It wasn't like a big kick or a bit of
violence. You can understand it was ascending.
I think the ref could have given him a yellow.
Well, but anyway, but that happened.
What kind of message does that send to Beckham of the past, eh?
True.
Yeah, he'd learnt from it, though. He said after the game that Hoddle never even spoke to him. Never even spoke to him.
Well, Hoddle's biggest problem. He's exactly not really a man manager.
As we said,
not really a man.
Many nonsense. Many football fans around the country had an extreme dislike to Beckham. Yeah. It's safe to say,
and that lasted a while.
It lasted a long, long time, and it was very unfair. And he was made the scapegoat, as I say. Although the sending off obviously doesn't help, but England went out. You know, it was a good Argentina side. It was on penalties.
One of the problems was the Romania result, which meant England finished second in their group, and to play Argentina.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
was it West Ham when they had an effigy of Beckham?
Yeah, I mean, again, for those who don't live in England or can't remember that, it was a disgrace. Like, you would never know now what actually happened to Beckham, the way he was treated. It was shocking.
West Ham have got more of a case though, because they don't actually know what it's like to win the World Cup. So it hurt for them more.
Anyway, so Beckham came home to England playing for Manchester United in the 98-99 season, and they played Leicester City on the opening day at Old Trafford. They were 2-0 down. Beckham set up the first with a trademark cross, and then in injury time, a beauty of a free kick to equalise, and that got him going, really. And that season, he was magnificent.
And it has been commented on before about how important Ferguson was.
Yes,
because Beckham was his public enemy number one, this ridiculous set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And he went back to United, to Old Trafford, and he said in the past that, you know, he felt it's like a real cocoon for him, and Ferguson really looked after him. He could contract his club football. Man United, if they've got any faults, it certainly isn't that they don't look after their players properly, and he felt like he could really kick on again because he was looked after properly at the club.
And
the season he had in 98-99, which we're going to come and talk about, was he was so good.
Yeah.
It's so
good. And also at the time, he started going out, I think, with his now wife, Victoria Beckham. And so again, that a lot more media attention as well. So the spotlight on him, every
move.
It was intense, and he was scrutinised with absolutely every move. But what a season he had. I mean, if you just look at that season alone, most players would be happy if that was stretched out throughout their careers. The goals he scored, the assists, the goal scoring opportunities he provided with, he was so instrumental that year.
Yeah, I mean,
in the treble winning season. Yeah. I mean, he was a part of that wonderful quartet of Giggs, Keane, Scholes, and obviously himself.
He made Gary Neville's crosses look terrible. He really did.
One of the things about that Waddle quote that was this week about how Beckham wouldn't be in the top 1,000 players since the inception of the Premier League. If Beckham had just played in that season, he would be. Yeah. Just with that season.
Oh, yeah, he'd be in the top 20 probably. Yeah. he really was superb that year. Provided York Cole, Sheringham and Solskjaer with many an assist. Got a lovely one in the semi-final of the FA Cup against Arsenal, Jim. Which we forget because of the Giggs goal. But it was a fantastic goal.
Yeah, from quite far out, bottom left-hand corner.
He was brilliant for a long ranger.
He was. I mean, the way he struck the ball.
I hate saying was.
Yeah, that's
too fresh.
No, he still is.
He can still do a job.
He strikes the ball, obviously, very well.
Yeah. I mean, Man United won the treble that year. Beckham was voted. Yeah. Now, Beckham was voted FIFA runner-up to Rivaldo in the FIFA World Player of the Year and runner-up again to Rivaldo in the European Player of the Year awards. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of silly people out there. This kind of proves that he wasn't just a hard worker who made the most of his slightly above average talent.
Chris
Waddle.
Yeah. When people talk about Beckham and think, he was a great player.
Yeah,
he really was.
These sort of awards are voted on by fellow players, fellow managers, stuff like that. You know, you can't really get any more of a pure assessment of a player's ability and talent and effectiveness on the field. I mean, even if you take to the side that he fucking won the treble, he's already won the Champions League. If you need more evidence, he's been voted second in World Player of the Year.
That happened
twice as well.
Yeah, and let's say
that. And that quarter of an hour against Greece, so.
Well, that's coming up, Pete. Don't jump the gun.
But, more than a quarter of an hour.
It was. But, in that vote, all the people who vote can pick any player in the world, and most of them, or a lot of them,
pick Rivaldo. But after him, it was Beckham.
But you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But all this was still not enough to get the press and a lot of the fans off his back. Even the England fans.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of them, well, we know that they're a bit silly.
I can remember that. I mean, it happened quite a lot in the 90s. I can remember Shearer getting booed everywhere.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
By fans because of I don't really know why. Mm. And I think that's why he didn't want to play, wasn't that bothered about playing for England later on.
Well, following season, he won the league again with United. Was sent off in the World Club Cup for a silly foul. But that again.
He actually sent off quite a lot in his career, Beckham.
He did a few
about
times.
Seven or eight sendings off, he must have had.
Four, I think, Real Madrid. But yeah, that made matters worse. He went to Euro 2000 playing under old Kevin Keegan. There's his mensch. played well in the qualifiers with Beckham. He set up both of England's goals against Portugal in the first game where England were pretty poor. And again, some of the sections of the supporters really gave him some horrendous abuse, like really, really nasty stuff about his son, his wife, and all that kind of stuff. And he was seen giving them the middle finger, actually. I think that's just maybe the press slightly began to change because not all of them were against him for that. Mm. I think even they realised they were... because they were bloody part of the reason why that was happening.
They stoked it up,
Exactly. And hopefully one or two of them had some kind of a heart and realised that. So after the Euros, Keegan stepped down. Beckham was given the captain's armband for the first time in a friendly under Peter Taylor. And it wasn't long after this that England appointed their first foreign manager. Mm. Enter Sven.
Yeah.
His little smile through his pop shield.
Well, he made Beckham the team's captain and went about securing qualification for World Cup 2002 on the back of England's defeat against Germany. Sven's got to take a little bit of credit there. He weren't in a good way. So, in a sense, he's coming in too to the Hall of Fame. But Beckham's critics were beginning to sort of soften to him, as I must say. He scored some crucial goals in qualification. But it was at Old Trafford against Greece where he put in a memorable performance that won the hearts back of all those idiots and all the press that had previously hated him. England drew 2-2 with Greece. They needed to better or equal Germany's result against Finland. Germany fortunately failed to beat Finland at home 0-0, and of course England were dreadful against Greece. Dreadful.
With the exception of Beckham, who just did everything.
With the exception of Beckham, who dragged them through, kicking and screaming. Mm. In the second half, he was just a one-man team. Again, it's worth YouTubing, because he played like a man possessed. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely...
It's probably the best performance I've seen from an England player.
I'd agree with that. I'd second that.
Yeah. And then, of course, he got his moment in the 93rd minute or whatever it was. England were 2-1 down, needed the point, and steps up and scores a glorious free kick
at Old Trafford as well.
At Old Trafford.
This is my house.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, and this is, he's got the shaved head. And it was like he put his foot on the ball and just said no. Yeah. I'm having this, and you're all going to bloody well love me for it. Yeah. Although he wouldn't have thought that, because he's a very humble man. Yeah. But I think some of the journalists said that when Beckham walked through, was it the mix zone or somewhere like that, a lot of the journalists, they all actually stopped and just applauded him.
No, how good of him.
This is why, true, you put it like that. These sort of things, Beckham brings into focus why sometimes we're quite contemptuous about like tabloid hacks and stuff, because they are a lot of time, and there's no better example than Beckham. They embarrass themselves.
They flip back and forward like that.
Oh, what? So he stuck a free kick in the 93rd minute, so now we can like him again. Grow up.
Yeah.
Do you know, he's actually doing something.
Yeah, indeed. And in 2001, Beckham was again voted runner up, this time to Luis Figo in the FIFA World Player of the Year.
Again, overrated.
Not bad for a player who wasn't in the top 1,000 Premier League players, eh, Chris Waddle?
Yeah.
You'd never see David Beckham smash up a pub with a football, will you?
I hope not.
Just for men.
Oh, dear.
Just the ultimate man.
Yeah. In the lead up to the World Cup in 2002, Beckham was putting in great performances and scoring his fair share of goals. I mean, the thing is, like, when I say, I'm sort of summing up very briefly there, there's so many great goals that we could dissect and go into. But this was the season where he broke his metatarsal bone in his foot after a challenge by Aldo Duccia in the Champions League,
which was a hatchet job
against Deportivo. What do you think?
Yeah, come on, head of the World Cup, Argentina. It's a hatchet job. It's a terrible tackle.
Beckham did score a superb goal against Deportivo in the Champions League away. That
Deportivo had a good team,
but they had an excellent team. But that Beckham, it was the whip and loop, and you could just imagine the keeper
born
thinking,
out of Whips Cross Hospital,
exactly. When he was just about to size one up. And as it leaves his foot, the keeper's like, oh no. There it goes. He never hit it with his laces that much.
No.
But the pace, he'd get on it.
Yeah.
As you said, swerve. The technique is like nothing we've seen.
No.
Certainly in this country. Beckham managed to just about get fit for the 2002 World Cup, started against Sweden, but it was in the second one where he had the last laugh against Argentina, scored the only goal of the game where England effectively knocked out their rivals, really. And that was the great thing about Beckham and England under Sven. You know, we beat Germany 5-1, then beat Argentina. It's like we were going to go back round and do everybody who'd wronged us, obviously.
Yeah, didn't happen.
Didn't last very long, but still we had those two games. Yeah. You know, and my goodness, I wouldn't flipping kill to get that back. But but after the World Cup, Beckham's relationship with Sir Alex Ferguson started to wane a little bit. There was the infamous boot kicking incident.
With the Alice Band.
Alice Band. We're moving on.
Flip to the Alice Band section of your flip chart to see the butterfly stitch bleached hair scraped back into the Alice Band.
That's your favourite Beckham look, isn't it?
No, I'd probably say the one just after that, where he had quite long hair. 2003, after that.
Oh, Madrid.
When he signed for Madrid.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Samurai, top knot sort of job.
That was quite nice.
I quite like World Cup 98, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
Jim?
We'll come back to you. I like the Real Madrid look.
Okay,
I like his later look as well.
That wins. That wins.
Let's not talk about the cornrows he had for a bit.
Not for a while. He did have that season. His celebrity lifestyle off the pitch was perhaps interfering. Sir Alex Ferguson certainly thought so. And there was a few little fallings out. He was sometimes on the bench and that kind of thing. He did have a great performance though against Real Madrid in the Champions League, where he came off the bench to score 2-1 with an excellent free kick. That was a proper whip in off the bar, flicked the bar on its way in. Another one of my favourite Beckham free kicks. I mean, there's so, I think he's got 60.
This could go on for a while.
Yeah, true. Just a quick mench, actually, of the one against Barcelona in the 3-3 when they won the treble. That was so far out, it was ridiculous. So he signed for Real Madrid in 2000. There goes the water. Beckham signed for Real Madrid in 2003. And we signed for Madrid in 2003. We've still got another 10 years.
Yeah, you better speed it up.
Well, he went to play for a team that included Zidane, Figo, Ronaldo, and Roberto Carlos.
Glorious.
Galacticos. Yeah.
Absolutely glorious. Otherwise known as Jim.
I remember him scoring a brilliant goal for Madrid where he had the ball sort of proper like long range free kick distance, but it was in play, but he had no one around him, so he just sort of rolled it forward, let it stop, and took it like a free kick. Brilliant.
I think my favourite cross he ever did was from Real Madrid, where it's Ronaldo.
That is very YouTubeable. He's got it out wide, and just it's like the ball's on a remote control.
Yeah, the ball suddenly just decides to go left. It goes
straight on. Ronaldo sort of slides in and scores. I mean, it's one of the greatest passes of all time. Damn it all. And funny enough, in Beckham's first 6 months and his last 6 months, he was superb for Real Madrid. I mean, he had a good time in between, but those two were particularly good. The side were firing on all cylinders when he joined, but they kind of ran out of steam in the second half of the season, didn't win anything. But he scored some great goals in Madrid, played some excellent football. His performances probably weren't quite up there with the same consistent levels at Manchester United.
It's a bit of a circus at that point, though, wasn't it? Yeah. It was so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, he was played on the right, and then he was in the middle a bit. He was sometimes in the middle of Guti, wasn't he?
Yeah, you got a revolving door of managers. I mean, Capello came in at some point, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, indeed. Scored a number of free kicks, too, for Madrid, which is impressive, considering how many free kick takers they had in the
top. Only got one every five games.
Yeah, that's it.
Canava goal.
Yeah.
I can't remember which match it was, or maybe it was even in training. I'm sure it was a match, though. But like, Zinedine Zidane, I'm pretty sure, when he received a pass from Beckham, he actually applauded it and later said like it's like the best pass he'd ever received.
Wow. Again, overrated as a player. Obviously shit.
The best player of our generation saying that is the best pass he'd ever received.
Do I believe Zidane, or do I believe
anyone else
kid in like his parents' bedroom on the internet? I think I believe Zidane.
Dear.
I mean, don't even believe us, really.
No, because we are in his bedroom on the internet. That's true.
Yeah. Beckham played for England at Euro 2004, missed a couple of penalties in that tournament, and England went out of the quarter final stage. It was a bit of a shame. He had a better tournament in Germany in 2006, assisting Crouch and Gerrard for their goals against Trinidad Tobago. Scored a free kick against Ecuador in the last 16. And he became the only Englishman to have scored in three different World Cups. Quite a nice little
I think, I don't know if this is definitely true, but I'm sure I read that he's the best, he's the big, highest assist maker for England in, in international tournaments.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it would make sense. And after 2006 World Cup, he stepped down as England captain under Steve McLaren and was succeeded by John Terry.
McLaren tried to move him off, didn't he? Tried to move him out.
Yeah, he dropped Beckham altogether from England.
Well, he tried to make a statement, didn't he? But it was the wrong one to make.
A stupid
statement was that I am incompetent.
Yeah, the statement was Sean Wright Phillips and Aaron Lennon are getting ahead of Beckham in the side.
Statement is, I don't think it's that important to qualify for tournaments. And no one believed it. No one agreed with
the
statement.
Taking part that counts.
Yeah.
Unless you're David Beckham.
Yeah. Beckham went nearly a year out of the England setup. And it was at this time at Madrid where Fabio Capello had been appointed. And he wasn't playing Beckham much either. And it was during this time that Beckham probably thought enough was enough. So he wasn't good enough, or so we were led to believe, according to Capello and McLaren. He wasn't good enough to start or even get it in England squad, and barely came on off the bench for Real Madrid. So at the start of 2007, he announced that he was joining the LA Galaxy that summer. And I remember feeling, and this is no disrespect, but quite disappointed, because I thought he still got a lot to offer at Madrid and such.
Well, he's about 32 at the time or something like that.
Yeah, and Capello after that said, well, Beckham's played his last game for the club. We can't trust him to do a job because he's got his mind focused on California soon. Club president Ramon Calderon said Beckham was going to Hollywood to be half a film star. Very sneery. However, Capello was so impressed with Beckham's dedication in training, despite all this, that he actually went back on his word and put Beckham in the side for the fight for the title. And it wasn't like Madrid where they were cruising away or it was not much to play for. It was very, very important, and Capello saw how he was playing and put him ahead of some decent players.
Haircut update, Mohawk at this point, I think.
I'm not sure.
No, I think
Mohawk's 2007.
Mohawk's 2007?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, could be. So Beckham broke back into the side quite incredibly and played like a man possessed. He was instrumental in Madrid winning the title that year and bowed out with a La Liga title to his name, which was absolutely fantastic.
And as it should be.
Yeah. Capello admitted that he'd made a mistake with Beckham, and the club tried to almost sabotage his move to the Galaxy by keeping him there. Yeah. A remarkable turnaround. And again, against all these adversaries, Beckham's turned round and walked off, and they're all blowing kissy faces and wanting him to stay.
This is what happened to me now when he went on loan, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there is quite a number of times that's happened throughout his career. And Steve McLaren had also woken up at this point as well and brought Beckham back into the England side. And he played there was a qualifier against Estonia, two assists that he made, and one for Crouch, which was one of my favourite passes as well. Absolutely fantastic. Beckham's first couple of years at the Galaxy were a little bit indifferent. He scored some great goals and put in some all right performances, but was accused of not putting his all in, really. He did okay, but his best was still to come there. But in 2008, he got a loan move to Milan, which was just lovely.
Yeah.
Just lovely.
Great to see him back, wasn't it?
Yeah. And in fact, actually, of all the kits he wore, I think I liked seeing him in that Milan kit the most.
It did feel right, didn't it?
Yeah, indeed it did.
Two icons together.
Now, some people at Milan and their supporters held reservations about Beckham's arrival, wondering if he was up to the task. He was. He found himself
and that's
playing,
that.
Yeah, he found himself playing alongside Maldini, Seedorf, Pirlo, Inzaghi, and all the boys. What I love is that Beckham went around these teams, playing amongst all these great players, and they all loved him to have an Englishman in front with all them.
I remember Gattuso being particularly vocal about him not wanting to leave and stuff.
Yeah, well, they tried to sign him permanently after he left, but
he actually wanted like too much money.
Exactly. Yeah. In his third appearance for Milan, he got a great free kick against Genoa, was it maybe, at the San Siro from a really tight angle. One of my favourite free kicks, actually. But Beckham said he'd like to stay at Milan and not kind of return to the Galaxy, which
didn't go down that well.
Annoyed people, understandably, at the Galaxy.
There's a lot of banners saying part-time Beckham.
Exactly.
Sort of
his salary was scrutinised as well. He was making an awful lot of money. Landon Donovan fell out with him. He clashed with some supporters who felt he wasn't giving his all, as we say. He did help the Galaxy win the 2009 Western Conference final, but was soon back at Milan for a second loan spell in a bid to help him be selected for the 2010 World Cup. During this time, he played against Manchester United at Old Trafford, which was nice to see him back there. And he was cheered by the United faithful. His second spell at Milan wasn't a good one, though, as he tore his left Achilles tendon, which made him miss the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, which was gutting.
Yeah.
It really was such a shame.
He went there as like an advisor, didn't he, instead or something?
He was there.
Yeah.
He was there. He didn't play for England again. He largely reduced to cameo appearances before the World Cup, but finished his career for England with 115 caps. The second most capped player in the history of the England national team.
Peter Shilts, number one.
Mm. It's funny, isn't it, with Beckham? Like, he got England out of so many scrapes.
Yeah.
And he, so many goals, so many assists. He was so important for the
side.
He was
a big game player as well.
Yeah, exactly. He was so reliable.
With the exception of when he was very young and he made mistakes in big games, generally he seemed to relish it and really thrive on that big game occasion.
Mm.
Which is always a really good talent for a player to have.
Mm. He returned to the Galaxy, and this is where he kind of really knuckled down to life in the MLS. He won the 2011 MLS Cup, scoring some lovely goals too. Signed a 2-year extension in 2011, and was enjoying life in America.
Won it again the following year, didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. And once again, he'd won the fans over.
Yeah.
From giving, it seems to be a link, doesn't it? Gets a lot of stick and then wins them over, mm. and everyone loves him. He helped generate the interest in the MLS with the American public that he set out to do. I'm not sure how successful he was at that, but there was certainly some success. And in his last game at the club, he won the MLS Cup again and was given a standing ovation by the fans.
Yeah.
And then, incredibly, earlier this year, 2013, Beckham joined PSG on a 6-month deal. The 37-year-old Beckham would see out his playing career with some Ligue 1 and Champions League football.
Mm.
Who could have seen that?
Yeah.
I mean, starting against Barcelona and then coming on at the Nou Camp.
Do you think there's some element of a commercial interest in signing him?
Possibly. But
he can still do the business. Mm. So, you know, they go together well.
Mm.
But he didn't look out of place that much with Zlatan and Pastorian. I mean, he clearly wasn't one of their best players.
But again, Zlatan sort of said, exactly. went on record of saying, you know, he's a great person to be around in the dressing room and elsewhere.
Leonardo Ancelotti and Zlatan, as you say, all commented on that. What an important figure he was. And a great professional as well. So there probably would have been a little bit of the marketing. But that whole marketing thing, oh, he's there to sell shirts. Well, actually, at Real Madrid, he was there to put in some performances as well.
Mm.
You know, I'm not having that so much. This is a marketing machine that they go on. He captained PSG in his last professional game, playing in Paris against Brest, and provided an assist for a second goal. And it was a bit emotional before he got subbed off. The teary-eyed David Beckham.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the reason he couldn't play in the very final game of the season is because he's got because of his Achilles. I believe the team they were playing last of the season,
Lorient.
Yeah, I think they might have had a plastic pitch,
right,
which meant he couldn't play.
But bearing in mind, he'd only been there 5 or 6 months. All his teammates gave him a great send-off as if he'd been there for years.
Mm.
But when he got subbed off, all his teammates come up and hugged him.
Mm.
It was incredible. It's like something I've never seen before. He's only been there a short time, and it was almost like the PSG faithful felt it was their privilege to witness his last match.
Yeah.
Because, you know, old Svenigans once said that he was the world's biggest sports personality.
Right, okay.
He was loved by so many people. Wherever he went, he was loved.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that we could have talked about Beckham outside of football as well, but that's not what the man's truly about.
No.
He loved playing football.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Beckham wherever
he
went.
No question his work rate.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, Ferguson said he was the most dedicated player in training early on. But everyone loved him and respected him as a man and a footballer wherever he went. And he wasn't just some marketing machine. He was a top player, and everyone he played with recognised that and applauded that. No other player has perhaps been universally loved quite the same way as Beckham, you could argue. And he was and is an institution. And for those of us who have witnessed his entire career from start to finish, it's been a real pleasure and a real privilege. And the fact that, of course, we're English and he's English as well just makes it that so much nicer. A guy with genuine technique as well.
Yeah.
The goals and memories, performances, stories and joys that will all have those wonderful memories. He bows out with league titles to his name in England, Spain, America and France. And he faced adversaries wherever he went and won them all over. And we will end with a quote. Who else from? Darius Vassell. He always used to say he wished he had my pace, but I told him, when you can pass a ball like that, there's not much else you need.
Darius Vassell's pace there.
David Beckham comes in. David Beckham OBE comes into the Dundas Hall of Fame. We love
knighthood has just round the corner.
Absolutely.
This is very much seen as like the Golden Globes or the Oscars of the knighthood, you know.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Get us on Twitter @footballramble and get us on Facebook, facebook.com/footballramble.
There it is. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
See you next week, gang.
Smooth. Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.